Let's stand together, if you would. Just bow our heads as we open the service. Lord Jesus, oh God, what a wonderful day, Father. Lord, we wake up in the morning, Father, with your love in our hearts. Lord, just a desire to serve you and to please you. Lord, it's all your goodness and grace. Lord, we pray, Father, as we've gathered here tonight, fulfilling your word, Lord. We know that you will fulfill it also, Lord, of being with us, Lord. You promised you'd be here. And Lord, as you walk amongst us, Father, may you just look into our hearts individually, each and every one. See what we have need of, Father. Feed us tonight. Grant to us a revelation, understanding, Lord, that we may know how to serve you and to please you in this late hour. Father, we're looking forward to that sweet coming, Father. We know it's close. Lord, we pray, Father, just let us be ready, Lord. Let that, Father, that desperation grow greater in our hearts. Father, for it's truly time is far spent. Have your way, Lord, we pray. Bless each and every one that's gathered or listening. May your will be done in everything we ask in your precious holy name. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. Turn with me in our Only Believe books. I'd like to praise his holy name. Page 44. God leads us along. Amen.
In shady green pasture, so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Where the waters cool flow, bathe the weary one's feet, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some eternity's day, God leads his dear children.
leading you every step of the way. Praise his holy name. Page 22. Amen. Victory in Jesus.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his burning, of his precious blood's atoning, and I repented of my sins upon the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath that cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and met. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. All my love is dear. He plunged me to victory beneath my earlier. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal seas, about the angels singing and the old sweet day, I'll sing out the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged
been plunged. Amen. The blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Amen. Page 29, just over one page here. I am resolved. Amen. Determined. Amen.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Oh, things that are so glad.
into the arms of my Lord.
Amen. Brother Hamilton, would you come up?
That's the blessing. Where would I be without Jesus? Praise his name.
Where would I be without Jesus? Oh, where would I spend eternity? Oh, lost in a world full of sorrow. Oh, without Jesus, where would I be? Oh, tell me, where would I be? I spend eternity, oh, lost in a world full of sorrow. Oh, without Jesus, where will I be?
Praise his name. I may have a need, a request on your heart. Something. Amen. Just hold it on your heart. But Josh, would you take requests this evening?
Be seated. Hey, would you have a song tonight, Karen? As we come.
Praise God.
Stand together, if you will. Ask our brother to come. Sing a little chorus. Only believe.
Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible.
For a little opportunity to be able to come together, pray, and we'll be able to say something or read something that'll strengthen you and stir our hearts to God's precious word as we bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we are just so grateful for each and every opportunity you give us. And Lord, there's just nothing like gathering around your precious word. And Lord, it may be my voice that reads and rehearses, but Lord, these are things that by the Holy Spirit was penned and put onto paper. Lord, that we would renew our minds with it, Lord, and have it brought back to our attention. That, Father, we may be better soldiers, better Christians for you, Lord, and to be conformed to your image. And, Father, we're so thankful for the call that we have, the desire that pulls in our hearts, Lord, to do this precious word. And we just ask you, Lord, to fan those flames, Lord, and make it burn white hot in our hearts. That, Lord, we would be the people that you saw for us to be. And we'll never fail to give you the glory and the honor for it all. Bless your word to our hearts now, and we yield ourselves unto thee for service. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. He is so precious.
Yes, he is.
While you're still standing, if you would, we'll turn our Bibles over to John. If you want to read just a very familiar scripture with me. Amen. I've got a few quotes and things to read here this evening. It's just kind of meditating. A couple different ways of wasn't sure which way I was going to go for sure, and we'll just share a few things and just praying God will bless our hearts with the word.
Yes. Amen.
But here in John and the 10th chapter, and we'll just read the 27th verse on down to about the 29th. John 10 and 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand, and I and my Father are one. May the Lord bless you in his word. You may be seated.
Amen.
You know, such precious words to us, but that next verse down says, and then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Can you imagine how thankful we ought to be that God's word strikes a chord in our hearts.
Amen.
And how it should be a reality to see how precious these things are in which we read and listen to and rehearse.
Yes.
And you know, you can't help but to think, but even as our pastor was ministering Sunday, and every time the word comes forth, how it ought to stir in our hearts. You know, as Jesus walked on that road to Emmaus with those two, and they said, did not our hearts burn within us? And that word's coming forth, and you can see yourself in them pages.
Yes.
And you can see and recognize that that word is speaking to you.
Amen.
How it ought to just make a pulsation in our hearts. Amen. That just melt us down, make us humble and truly see.
Yes.
That by God's grace, we are nothing without him, but through him, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I just wanted to use Paul for a little bit of an example this evening as I was thinking about him and meditating on a different form of maybe of a message. But if you would, I'm going to turn over to Acts and just read a very familiar portion here just to catch. We know these things. We've heard it, but we just, it's always good. It was put here to be read. Yes. We're going to read it. Amen. Amen. But in Acts, the 9th chapter, and we'll just start the first verse, and I'm going to skip over just a little bit, but just to catch a little bit of a highlight and to make a point. But Acts 9, in the first verse, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any in this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And I want you to think about Paul, his experience, as realizing that he was that first messenger, a prophet of God that brought the word. And God dealt with him to deliver those things that are written for us and that we believe and hold so dear to our hearts. And as we see that, as man looked at Saul at this point in time, boy, how the harsh judgment there would be against him from a human standpoint. He held the coat of Stephen. And you know, we read these things, but sometimes we fail to put ourselves truly in that position and to really think about it. And it can even happen today. What if God, what if somebody killed one of your loved ones and you were put in this position that God raised that person up and brought him in and set him down in your midst? Have you ever truly meditated on it? And Lord, do I have in my heart the ability to truly forgive? And you know, that's a thing that is, God dealt with Paul and this began to happen. Those believers had to forgive him and go on and realizing what God was using. Yes, and sometimes maybe it doesn't even take something that big and we get a little bit of rough edges. Don't want to truly, you know, just kind of shy away a little bit. But oh, how we should truly have the love of God burning in our hearts that would cover a multitude of sins. And have true brotherly kindness and brotherly love. But just think, just a little nugget to drop in there. But let's drop on down here. Paul, realizing God spoke to him and told him, he said, arise. And watch Paul's life as he just raised right up. He was astonished, but he realized right off when that word struck, there was already something down in the inside that was predestinated before there was a moon or a star. Amen. Predestinated to this precious word, and it caught his attention right quick. Yes. And so we'll drop down to about the 15th verse and where God was speaking to Ananias. But the Lord said, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, putting his hands on him. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way, as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as there had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. And then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. What a, God knew what to do and how to bring everything to pass, exactly. And when you think of that, I'll turn over to Romans. And I want you to, our pastor mentioned these in passing a little bit Sunday, but I want you to think about what happened in Paul's life that he could say these things that he says here, and to realize that with the experience he had, and he could, it was a firsthand experience. And as Peter testified of, you know, in the back when he came down out of the upper room and was preaching, the life that was being lived and the testimony that was going forth of a changed life. Mm-hmm. But think about Paul as he wrote here in, let me see, I might have it wrong. It's Romans the 8th chapter, I'm sorry. I think I said the first chapter, I meant Romans 8. But just think as Paul began to speak in this chapter, and as you can go back and read from 1 to 7 as he explained things, but just think of that as knowing what Paul had been through, what he had done, but realizing what Jesus Christ had done for him and the power of that precious blood that was spilled on Calvary, and realizing that that Holy Spirit had come in and cleansed him. He could truly read this and write this verse, that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And you truly see this begin to be manifested in his life. You can see him expressing it out. And as he went over to the 11th verse, and you know, and he put, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. And I want you to think about that. Sometimes so many have wanted to do away with the true importance of that scripture. But how it ought to truly strike our hearts to realize that that scripture means exactly what it says. If that Spirit lies in you, this body will quicken to the Word. And it'll recognize the Word, and there's nothing going to take it from you or move you from it. And it'll hold you steadfast. And you know, God's, and Brother Branham, when he was here, he made this statement, and we read it often. We've heard it quoted. Actually, I put it on the back side here. But you know, many people, they don't like this quote because of the way Brother Branham put it. And it pins them down, and it pins me down, it pins you down. But in Who Is This Melchizedek, preached February the 21st, 1965, in reference to that scripture, Brother Branham was saying, but look, when this body receives the Spirit of God, the immortal life inside of you, it throws this body in subjection to God. Hallelujah. He that's born of God doth not commit sin. He cannot sin. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. They walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There you are. See, it throws your body subject. You don't have to say, oh, if I could just quit drinking, if I could just get in Christ, it's all gone, see, because your body is subject to the Spirit. It's no more subject to the things of the world. They are dead. They are dead, and your sins are buried in baptism, and you are a new creation in Christ, and your body becoming subject to the Spirit to try to live the right kind of life. Like you women claiming you got the Holy Ghost, go out here and wear shorts and things. How could you do it? How could the Spirit of God in you ever let you do such a thing as that? It just can't be so. Certainly, it can't be. He's not a filthy spirit. He's a Holy Spirit. Now, there's all kinds of things we could have put in that verse. And each one of us, as we weigh our lives in God's precious Word, it's not just that, but it's every word. Man must live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Obedience to the full Word entitles you to the token. And as we think of that, and then he says, and when you become subject to that Spirit, it throws your whole being subject to that Spirit. And the Spirit is nothing in the world but the seed word made manifest or quickened, hallelujah, made alive. And when the Bible said, don't do this, that body quickly turns to it. There is no question. And what is it? It's the earnest of the resurrection that this body will be raised up again because it's already started. It was once subject to sin, mire, and corruption. But now it's got the earnest. It's turned heavenly. And there's an earnest that you're going in the rapture. It's the earnest. Amen. And how Paul, looking back at the scriptures, you can see that total change in Paul's life. You can see that when he comes, that word went forth, his body quickly became subject to it. His attitudes changed, his passions changed, his desires was changed. His whole life was turned around. Yes, everything about him had become his sole purpose in life then. It was, it got a hold of him. And sometimes we don't let this word truly get a hold of us. We want to reserve part of ourselves back, and we don't want to yield completely to what the Holy Spirit's wanting out of our life. And so many, we see it all over, maybe here, maybe other, someone that'll listen in or pick this up some other point in time. But it takes a full surrender, a full obedience to Jesus Christ and his Word. There's no room to hold back. He had to surrender. You've got to surrender everything you are. But oh my, God predestinated a people and placed them here that when that word went out, there would be a receiver for it. Just like the little woman at the well. Oh, she might have been steeped in sin, but when that word went forth and it once struck that little gene down on the inside, you watch her life change. And you go back and look at the many examples we've been left. You know, it ain't been too long ago our pastor mentioned the little woman that came begging crumbs, the parable of the lady wanting to be healed and just not meet the children's bread to be given. It's not quite exactly word for word, but you know what I'm talking about. But how she didn't get hurt feelings and she didn't go away all dejected, but she stayed there because there was something down on the inside that was pulling. Amen. She was going to get what she came for. Amen. And that's the way it is with every child and daughter of God. It may not be easy. And the word may come and truly pin you right down. What do you think Saul felt like when that word struck him down and he realized what he'd been doing? How do you think he felt? But he realized and it showed and he looked at God's great plan and his forgiveness and salvation. And oh, look at his life change and move and flow right in line with that word. And the scriptures are full of examples. And you can go back and pick up the prophet's message and look at the examples in this last down through the time, the ages, different men as God called them and chose them and as they came into their calling to see what God was doing in their life and watch that word go forth in our assurance. But it's our turn. That's what I'm saying. It's good to see what God has done in the Bible. It's good to see what God done in the prophet. It's good to see what God done in all them other ages. But it's today and it's me and you and it's our turn. To see this word lived out and to see it replicate itself in our lives and to see Jesus Christ have the full preeminence in our speech and our walking, our talking, our thoughts, our every action. Yes. Declare Jesus to this nation, to this people. But Brother Branham put it like this in the Easter Seal, about paragraph 83, and he was talking about the little eagle story he had read. And this was preached April 10th, 65. He says, notice, recognize the call of God's word, which he is a part. And if it's an eagle to an eagle, it's an eagle to an eagle. If that mother would have screamed like a buzzard, he'd have never noted. He'd have been just as well off in the barnyard. But it was the scream of an eagle. There was something inside that little fella that he knowed he was an eagle. And the same thing it is with every true believer. When the preaching of God's word comes forth and is vindicated and proved that it's God's word for this hour, then there's something within that believer. I don't care how loyal his father was to church or how loyal his mother was or his grandparents. If that church is teaching contrary to this hour of the baptism of the Holy Ghost message, there's something in him that screams out, he'll leave the barnyard. He's got to do Amen. It. The chicken might have been all right one day, but this is an eagle hour, see? It's different. There is something that he must leave that old coop and fly away into the blue. And then this earthly body is quickened and brought by the quickening spirit to the obedience of God's word. Yes. And you show me any eagle that truly knows he's an eagle, you ain't going to see him feeding on too much chicken food. Amen. He's looking for the real thing. He's looking for that fresh keel, that meat, and to sustain his life. And how as the true believer hears this precious word and recognizes how we should run to that word and not be satisfied with an ism here and an ism there. And this is okay. We don't believe this, but it's all right. It's got to come back to that full word, not as a group of people, but as an individual before God that's been called to be a member of that called out group, the church. Amen. There's something in their heart and life. They don't want nothing but that pure word. They don't want no man's idea mixed with it. They don't want some little bit of an idea or a little bit of creed. Well, I believe all of the prophet's message, but no, they don't want that. If God said it, they believe it and they want it all in its entirety, just the way it was delivered. And no, won't make excuses and won't make place for that life not to be there. If an apple tree is predestinated to bear apples, it'll bear apples. And if it ain't bearing apples, it's not an apple tree from the roots. And oh my, may we truly, truly look at our own lives and weigh ourselves up in God's precious word and not be satisfied with a half mediocre Christian life, but truly focus ourselves to God's word and the purpose for which we've been called here for. He says, let's see. And when the Holy Spirit presented, let's see, he says, obedience to God's word. And when the Holy Spirit presented as an eagle flying over the land finds the believer, no man can come to me, no man can come to me to make me unless he wants to. And all the Father has, he said, no man can come to me unless he wants. He says, no man can come to me. And he's, I think there's a misprint there. He says, but all the Father has given me will come to me. But no man can come by himself. It isn't your own thinking, your own drawing. It's God's drawing. And all the Father has given me will come to me. And the Holy Spirit is here on earth looking out those individuals that God has ordained to life in this age. And as soon as it finds it, it does just like it did on Jesus Christ, the great super Son of God who redeemed us all. It comes down and takes its place of abode into the human life. Notice, brought the quickening power. And that quickening power that come upon Jesus quickened him to manifest every promise of the word for that day. And so does the Holy Spirit that comes upon us in this day. If it's not a mockery, Holy Spirit, if it's not the devil mocking the Holy Spirit, but if it's real, true Holy Spirit, it will manifest the promise of this hour. And you'll see a people truly match and come in contact to exactly what that prophet said that little bride would be in this last age. Oh, as we see, it's a time for maturity. It's a ripening time.
Yes, it is.
We're coming to that place to where all else is going to fall away. Everything else may shake and tumble and fall down, but there's been a predestinated people that is anchored to God's precious word. And no matter what comes or what goes, they're not going to move from it.
Amen.
You know, Brother Branham expressed it like this in the message Leadership, and I thought this was pretty good. December 7th, 1965, paragraph 192. He says, any message that's come in a genuine born message of God is different from the old trend. When divine healing went forth not long ago, did you notice how the impersonators followed it? See, every one of them right into them organizations staying there. Does anyone know there had to be a message? Follow that? Why? God don't entertain us. He attracts our attention with something. And when he attracts our attention, then he's got his message. Look, when he first come on the earth and started his ministry, oh, young rabbi, we want you over here in our church. Come on down here, the young prophet. Oh, we want you over here. Come here. But one day he stood up and said, I and my Father are one. Oh, my, he makes himself God. Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He's a vampire. We have nothing to do with that. But them apostles sat right there. Thousands left him. But those apostles were ordained to life, and he said so. They couldn't explain it at the time, but they believed it. And they stayed right with it because he said no man could do, they said no man could do these works. And I want you to think about that. How many things maybe God's prophet in this last day spoke that maybe I can't fully explain? I may not know truly how the outcome of this situation may be or what this is going to be over here. But I know one thing, he told me, that if that life would come in this body and I would see it begin to reproduce, that was my earnest, that I was in a resurrection and I was going to leave this world. Let all else go on what may be, and it's in God's time and God's in control and it'll take place exactly. But if I can find my life hid in those scriptures and realizing that that call was to me and I was predestinated to this, I'll hold fast to what God has said. And stay right there knowing that God spoke his word. And as Paul said, if any man come or an angel from heaven and preach any other doctrine unto you than what I've delivered, let him be accursed.
Yeah.
And God sent the prophet in this last age and said the same thing. Say what I said and don't take from it. Don't add to it, but hold steady and hold fast. And you watch that little bride. She don't get caught up in this. She's not going to get caught up in that, but she's going to stay right in the middle and stay focused on God's word.
Amen.
And wait for the Holy Spirit to bring the interpretation of God's word to pass. And he will in his time in the right place, and it'll all fall right into line. But oh, I want to be found. You know, one of them disciples would have jumped up at the same time and said, I don't know, that's a little too harsh for us. We can't explain that. No, but they held tight. They held their peace because they had seen God working and they knew that there was no one else that could do that but the Almighty God. Amen. Here in the message, Power of Transformation. I know I'm doing a lot of reading, but wanted to get these things in there. He says, this is October 31st, 1965, Power of Transformation, paragraph 280. He says, notice, in the church life, it used to be in church life long ago when the prophet had something to say, thus saith the Lord, the people moved and they stayed right with it. They moved, but now, I don't like that guy, vote him out. See, they don't have understanding no more. The people just don't move by the Spirit of God anymore. God's word is his spirit, and his word comes to his prophet. And the word is supposed to transform you from the things of the world into the image of sons and daughters of God. And the word can only come through these prophets as they spoke. And it had to be compared with the word and show that it was the word. Then if you accept that word, it'll transform you from us, to a son or daughter, or he says from a son of God or a daughter, from a son of the world to a daughter of the world to a son and daughter of God. Look at you in here. How many has had that experience? Every one of us has. We've had that experience because it was spoke, it was believed, and the word came forth and fell into the bed of the heart, and there it growed right out. Yes. Transforming yourself, his Holy Spirit transforms that seed word into its likeness. Mm-hmm. That's why we come here and renew our minds. Yeah. That's why we come here and listen to the same quote, maybe five services in a row. That's why we come here and read the same scripture over and over. God had a plan for it. He said through the foolishness of preaching, men's souls would be saved. And it pleased him to have this be the manner. And oh my, how we ought to just be. If it pleased him for this to be the manner, it ought to please me to be ready to sit right here and absorb all that I can get. Amen. And drink it in. Whether I'm here at home, wherever I may be able to listen and to hear these precious things. The Holy Spirit transforms the seed into its likeness. The life in a pear tree brings forth a pear, and an apple tree an apple, and things like that. And his word will bring forth sons and daughters of God. That's what it's supposed to do. Amen. And by God's grace, as we read that scripture, my sheep hear my voice. I want you to think about that. As we go, as we used Paul, when that voice spoke forth and that light flashed across his path, all is stirred within him. There was that little gene of life. It was there already. How about you and I? Are we truly responding to this precious word, or is it a burden to me? You know, it's truly should be a joy to us. It should be our life. It should be everything to us. And it, that little elected, it really will be. That true believer. Go back, and if you ain't got nothing else to do, you just go back into the prophet's message where you can search for yourself. We've all got, I'm sure we have ability to do that. And you just search the word true believer and begin to read all the little things that goes with a true believer. And just let it build up in your heart. We're not here to be halfway believers. We're not here to be make believers. We're here to be true believers. And by God's grace, we want the full word and the unadulterated word just the way it was presented. And in God's provided channel and God's provided way, and it'll do the work and bring the increase that's needed in our hearts and in our lives. And by God's grace, it's not what I can do, it's not what your pastor's going to do, but it's what the Holy Spirit will do in your life. Amen. If we come God's provided channel. Amen. Oh, God's a rewarder of his diligently seeking, and his word will not go out void, and it will bring forth the increase. Amen. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. This is in the message, an absolute, preached December 1st, 1963. Let's see here. He said, we'll start here about paragraph 65. He says, "And the real born again people of this age that's filled with the Holy Ghost, this word is the high post of the scripture that's got to be fulfilled in the last days. They are that ultimate. It's God's ultimate because it's his word. And the word is Christ. In the typos, there's no way to get away from it. Something that holds you. As I said, it makes you do things that you ordinarily wouldn't do. It made Paul do things he ordinarily wouldn't do. It made Moses do things ordinarily he wouldn't do. It makes every man and woman do things they wouldn't do ordinarily. It's something that you are centered to. It's something that's your stabilizer. It's like the anchor to a ship. If the ship is tied to the anchor in the time of a storm, and if Christ is your absolute, you are tied to him. In the time of trouble, the ship, if you let it rock, it'll break against the rocks. But what they do, they drop the anchor, and the anchor drags until it snags in the rock foundation. And the ship is tied to the anchor. It's the absolute for the ship. And a born-again Christian is tied to Christ, and the Bible is the anchor. It's the thing we're tied to. Let the organizations, let the different thing, let science, let the educators say anything they want. As long as that word says it and promises it, we're tied to that. There is something that won't let us move from it. That's right. A real born-again Christian, they stay with that word. And if it says to do a certain thing to do and a way to do it, that's the way we must do it, no matter what anybody else says. That's what God said. and we're tied to that, a Christ-centered life, and how that's what we want in our lives. And you know, God sent us a prophet to show us that anything that's anti-word is anti-Christ. And oh my, if we would but search out that, how we might run from things that is happening around us. We might run back to the rock and get ourselves anchored truly and firmly in that precious word, and to hold fast and to realize that judgment is fixing to strike. And just as it did in the night in Egypt, anyone that was out from underneath that blood was going to perish, the token. And oh my, how we should be running and watching carefully to make sure that every word of God's applied in our life. Amen. And as it comes forth and I'm able to sit there, or you are able to sit here, and we can say amen, oh, it ought to make our hearts happy. If it comes forth and I have to say, oh me, then Lord, give me the grace to climb and to get to that place. Oh, there's such a press in the heart of that little bride. That little eagle, he didn't just stay down there in the barnyard saying, I wish I could get up there. I wish I could get up there. But no, he made the first jump and got onto that fence post. And the second time he flapped those wings and away he went. Yes. And may we truly, God, may he see our hearts and our lives truly being jumping, that full word, jumping to get in line, jumping to make sure we're living exactly what he's got promised for us in this last few moments of time. And oh, may we truly be able to have that longing in our hearts that my life would prove out that I just don't claim to believe this message, but my life is bearing witness. I am a living testimony that I do believe the word that Jesus Christ delivered to us. Amen. Oh, isn't he wonderful? Hallelujah. My voice is still a little weak. I apologize if it sounds funny, but God is so gracious to us. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. It's just a little short Thursday evening service, and I pray our hearts will be excited. Well, you know, Brother George is supposed to be here Sunday. God, just pray for him. Pray that God will lay something upon his heart. If we come hungry, there will be something for each and every one of us. And may we truly be looking for what God has for us. You know, there's not a time goes by that we gather in this building that God doesn't know what we need. And, you know, it can come in so many different fashions, so many different manners. And how we should truly come crying out, if we would come in that manner. Yes. You know, God will make sure what's needed will come forth.
Yes, he will.
But oh, may we truly be a people that is pulling on God. Not just coming to, well, I wonder what he's going to say today. I wonder what he's got for us. I wonder who he's going to lay. That's not the right attitude. But let us come hungering. Lord, what's my portion for today?
Yes,
what do you have for me, Lord? What am I going to hear, though, as I walk out that door? I can't go out the same person I came in, but I've got to go out a rung higher on that ladder. And as long as I'm here, I know some of us, we've all been around. Maybe some of us been in the message longer than others, but God has still got a climbing place for each and every one of us as long as we're in this life. More of him to be more like him, I pray. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus. Alive, alive, forevermore. Amen. It was on my heart Sunday. I thought we'd just sing that. Amen.
Alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive, alive forevermore. Alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive. Sing hallelujah, sing
precious word of God. I just was pulling out all kind of little nuggets in there as he's reading and speaking about the word of God. And again, I was so thankful by God's grace, as he said earlier, to be identified with that. Oh my, it's so precious. You think of all these different messages as God gave us through the prophet, and you sit down and you listen to those messages, and you feel such a part of it. And like he said, it's me, you know? And I don't know, it'd be so terrible not to have that. You know, it would? It'd be so terrible to just be listening to something and just, oh yeah, yeah, I agree with that. And, yeah, that sounds good. But that connection by that spirit being in you, the same spirit's in you that brought that word. Oh, what a glorious thing it is to know in this hour that God is so mindful of his children, to feed them the precious word of God. For his word is spirit, and it is life. Like I said, it ain't like sitting down, I've said before, it ain't like sitting down reading a newspaper. You don't feel nothing off of that. No. But when you sit down and listen and read the word of God, it's just, oh, it's just so refreshing. Isn't that something? I'm thankful for that so very much. Amen. It's been good to be here, isn't it? Amen. Just be praying for the services this weekend now. Pray God will have his way and open our hearts, as our brother said, to the word of God, and make it easy for Brother George when he comes. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, again, we are so thankful, so appreciative, Lord, as I was just saying, of how wonderful it is as the word of God's coming forth. We know what it is, Lord, when our Lord Jesus was speaking to the woman at the well. And as Jesus was speaking to her, Lord, you was explaining things to her, and how there was something ignited in her heart, as the prophet would say, representation of predestination. And Lord, we know we have representation of predestination because of what you do, and what you give us, and what it does to us. Lord, we're so appreciative of that. So thankful it's changing our lives, Lord. Every day, we're becoming more like you. For Father, we must be like you. And Lord, the only way we can is by you being in us, and you do the work. So we thank you now for this precious day that you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for life. Thank you for all the many blessings. Thank you for giving us eyes to see. Thank you for giving us ears to hear. Lord, thank you that we could raise out of bed this morning. Oh, we appreciate all these things, Lord. So we ask now as we part from this place, just watch over us and keep us in your will, Lord. Keep us safe. Keep our precious brothers and sisters safe on the highway as they travel. And Lord, may we all come with great expectation Sunday, if you should tarry, the Lord to see what you want to do in our lives. We ask us all to your glory and your honor now, through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. Amen. Praise his name. May God receive.